where the soul never dies. That says we're, as Christians, obeying and believing Christians, will spend eternity with each other. What are we doing now today? Are we practicing for eternal life together? The scripture says we will spend eternity together, those who obey the gospel. This morning, I chose for a subject the connection of the kingdom of God and the church. And the reason why I chose that subject is because when I first accepted Christ, I wasn't really sure. I didn't really understand the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the church of God. And since I've been enlightened, and I'm sharing this with you because it meant so much to me as I studied this based on God's word. The Bible, in several books, has spoken about the kingdom of God and what its ramifications are, its purposes. This morning I've chosen 3 points of interest because in studying this material, I found that with the reference material available to man today in studying Scripture, a subject can go from one spectrum religiously way beyond what the Church of Christ would ever consider contemplating. So as I was researching it, I looked to Scripture to validate itself, opposed to using the many references available. The ambiguity is so great. Brother Oscar, the elders, are well aware of this, and they oftentimes suggest that we stick with material that has been written and expounded upon by Church of Christ members. My point that I'm thinking about at this time is the exhaustiveness of doing research and studying God's word. And I'm not saying that it's not a beneficial endeavor. What I'm saying is that Scripture has spoken to these facts. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in the 12th chapter, in the 12th verse, the Scripture says, "But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless. An excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body." After reading that, I said, okay, we got this humongous millions and millions and millions of books available for us. If you use a computer, you can have a library that can hold maybe 10,000 books on a laptop that has maybe 2 or 3 gigs of memory. So when searching Scripture, we need to make sure that Scripture interprets itself so we'll get the full understanding. And, of course, it does, and it does it very well. And that's why the Scripture says, cursed is the individual that adds to or takes away from the word as it is. All of the commentaries and things like that are good for getting ideas about what something might have meant. But when it all boils down, what we're going to be held accountable to is what God's word says and only what God's word says. That bring us to our first point in the kingdom and church connection. And what I have here is the kingdom is a spiritual in concept and not of this world. As the brother read, John 18:36, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. So in my trying to gain an understanding of what the kingdom and the church connection was, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And I found that the reason he said that was because the kingdom of heaven was created in heaven. The kingdom of heaven uses God's word as its law. It's totally comprehensive as relating to the creation and will never come to an end. This is the kingdom of heaven. You can't see it. It's there. Christ came to show man his kingdom. He sent his spirit to guide it and will come back to perfect it. Consequently, when John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, saying in Matthew 3:2, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the people of Judea had an understanding of an impending kingdom from existing scripture. That means they were aware of some type of kingdom that was about to come. In Daniel 2:44, scripture says, and though in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom of heaven. It will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all of these kingdoms, which kingdoms that Daniel was talking about, but it will itself endure forever. And also Isaiah 2:2-3, now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chiefs of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Remember that point. And all the nations will stream to it. And many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Remember Zion, remember Jerusalem. All nations will stream into it from Jerusalem. But of course, like all people, or some people, we misunderstand God's word and create our own scenarios. And I said that in reference to kingdoms because when Christ was preaching, the kingdom is at hand. John the Baptist preached prior to Christ preaching it, the kingdom is at hand. They didn't have the same concept that we know the kingdom to be today. They thought it was going to be an earthly kingdom that was going to take control. And there were a number of things that took place and questions that were asked relevant to that gives us that understanding. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, in reference to God's thinking being more superior than ours, and we all have heard this before, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Therefore, there would be a kingdom, but not the type man thought. The fulfillment of the preceding section of Scripture was fulfilled in Luke 24:44-47. The fulfillment of Isaiah 2:2-3. And it reads as such. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then, and this is important, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Let me ask you a question, church. Has Christ
opened our minds
to the point where we understand the Scripture.
He told us, study to show ourselves approved unto God. Right?
A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Do we understand Scripture? Do we understand the difference between the kingdom, the church?
What's the church's purpose?
Do we understand the manifested glory of God that we have in our possession today?
We have the Word of God. But the Word of God is only important if we understand it. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to the nations. Remember, I said, remember the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. This is prophecy being fulfilled. So now we have knowledge of the kingdom with the explanation, the Apostle Peter explained that all men could become subjects if they will establish a relationship with God based on the gospel of Jesus Christ as was preached on the day of Pentecost. We have a basic understanding of the kingdom of God.
Basic.
And based on that understanding of all nations having access to the kingdom, if they accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's extremely important, because without accepting the gospel, you have no access, as we shall quickly, hopefully, find out. So, in Acts, the second chapter, starting at the 29th verse through the 41st verse, the Apostle Peter said, brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. Now, again, keep in mind, nations beginning from Jerusalem. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, of the Christ, that he was neither did not abandon to Hades, nor did his flesh decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Spirit, he has poured forth this which ye both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, in verse 37, we will get an understanding of the entrance into the kingdom of heaven and an understanding of the church concept. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent. Peter said, repent, and each of you to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, all nations, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. So we have, again, a reference to the availability of the kingdom and the church to all individuals if they will adhere to what Scripture teaches. Verse 39, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. And that day, with those things in mind, this brings us to the second point of this message, who belongs to the kingdom. As we can see in the previous verses, that those individuals that were there at the time, Peter explained to them, repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said that this promise is for you. Those were Jews that were there. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, Gentiles, as many as the Lord, our God, will call to himself. So then we got you and your children, those that are far off, and as many as the Lord God will call to himself. So, again, the availability to the kingdom and the church is available to everyone in the world. And I believe in our Bible study lesson this morning, that's part of the great mystery of the gospel that wasn't revealed, but it's now been revealed. Nobody has dibs on the church. The Jews don't have dibs. Everybody has access to God. Now, I don't know how everyone feels about that or thinks about that, but in my life, I've experienced some things that have been truly interesting, and God has brought me through a number of things in life that is just amazing. And to have in my possession the most powerful source of inspiration and knowledge on the face of the earth makes me kind of, passionate about the gospel. There is no other source in this world that you can come to that can give you the answer to all of life's problems. I mean, I don't care what the problem, what the situation, no matter what you deal with, there is a portion of scripture that you can go to and you can read it, and if God don't uplift you in that dilemma, then God is a lie. And we know what the scripture says about God being a lie. God says, he can, whatever problem you have, bring it to Christ. Verse 41, so then those who had received his word were baptized, and I guess that's how you can tell if a person really hears the gospel being preached. They will hear and acknowledge what they heard if they understand it, and they will act accordingly. Okay. At this time, I would like to bring to your remembrance Matthew 13, 41 through 43. And this is in reference to all those that hear and don't. You can be a believer in Christ, but not be obedient. Because we all know that, because the devils believe, but they don't obey. So you can still believe and not obey. And what God is looking for is men and women that will obey his word. That's how the first century turned the world upside down. They believed God's word in spite of all. They suffered persecutions, they were murdered, they were tortured, they were eaten by lions. Now, I know nobody wants to be eaten by a lion, nobody wants to be tortured, but today, we can be excommunicated in our jobs. Jesus said, if they hate me, you know what they're going to think about you. And I think sometimes that's where the fear comes in, and really standing up for Christ, you think about the things that are going to happen. But unfortunately, the scripture says the fearful and the unbelieving will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So with such power at your command and not having the fear of what man can do to you, but standing on what God's word promises, we shouldn't have a problem with sharing the gospel with individuals. It shouldn't be a hardship because Christ said, I'll never leave you. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I'll never forget about you. You know, you will be rewarded for what you do here and now. I gave you everything you have for the purpose of giving glory to me. That's to the saved. That's what we do in the church. We talk about the good things that God has done for us. And it should come natural. They should come natural if God has done anything for you. Okay, let me stick with my lesson. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks. All those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them in the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Jesus always says, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, everybody that I see out here has ears. Why would he say, he who has ears, let him hear? Because could it be that we could choose to perceive or accept what we want to, that we could hear some things but not really hear them? So could that be the reason why he spoke in parables? Because the individuals who were not sincere would not understand, and the ones that were would. Could this be a similar instance? In the book of Matthew, in the 13th chapter, and I won't belabor too much on that point, on this point, but in the 13th chapter, Jesus spoke in numerous parables. And most of the parables in the 13th chapter relate to the kingdom of heaven. The parable of the sower, it relates to the kingdom. Tares among wheat, to the kingdom. Same concept that he's speaking about here. The leaven. You put a little leaven in and you get this big beneficial thing to bake. The mustard seed. Smallest seed. Largest plant. All of these parables speak about the kingdom. The kingdom of which we are a part of. Hidden treasure, costly pearl, a dragnet. So many instances of what the kingdom of heaven is like, what the kingdom of heaven is about, why you don't have to be miserable in this life. There's no reason. God's word is awesome. Where was I? At this point, we can properly introduce the church, since the kingdom and the church are one, and the same. One and the same, except in function. With the kingdom referring to the... Now, I'm going to have a hard time saying this word. Maybe some English majors can help me. But I think it's sovereignty. There we go. Okay. Serenity. No, not serenity. It's like sovereign, but with the... I have a hard time saying that. Okay. The kingdom referring to sovereignty, dominion, and control, this belongs to Jesus Christ as its king. So it's like the kingdom of heaven applies to the governmental aspect. Thank you. This kingdom, therefore, the scripture says in Hebrews 12, 28 and 29, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. I guess that's how you can definitely tell if a person really is sincere about Christ. When you meet a person that says they love the Lord, what do you expect from them in communication and conversation? Is it ever that you think that they should, in the conversation, say something about Christ? When you meet a person, would you think that is it necessary? By which we may offer to God an acceptable service, with reference and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We serve a God who's a consuming fire, and we're supposed to reverence him with conduct and behavior acceptable. But I think to show God respect in our communications is one of the only ways that we can really share Christ with people. I mean, you can do things. You can do good things. People do good things that aren't Christians. But what separates them from us? We give the glory to God through Jesus Christ. They might give the glory to themselves. I did this. My power. And my thoughts always are, especially if I'm not, if I'm being fearful and asking, who gave you the power to do that? Do we do things like, do we say things like that to people? Do we question? And that's a question that I ask for you to think about. And in comparing the church and the kingdom, the church means the called out, and we briefly talked about that this morning. The church is the called out. The individual is called out of the world to do something, a certain purpose that we have to serve God. God called us out, cleaned us up, okay, and some of us might say, well, I wasn't dirty. That's not what God's word says. He said we were all sinners. So he called us into the kingdom of his glorious Son for a purpose. Its connection with the world, hence, we have the connection with the kingdom of heaven and the church. Again, they are not totally synonymous, but only in function. At this point of salvation, we were called out of the kingdom into the kingdom of... Okay. In Colossians, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 13 through 18, will give us some insight on what's happening with us as a body and a group. Colossians 1, 13 through 18. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness. Church, I would like to ask you, isn't it wonderful to not be overcome by the forces of evil? Isn't it wonderful to be able to know and have discretion in making choices and decisions based on God's word? We have that available to us. The world doesn't have that. That's one of the benefits of being a Christian. Power, the ability to function over sin. For he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. The scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God does not condemn us in Christ Jesus. Man, that's deep. That's awesome. That is awesome. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. You've seen Christ, seen the invisible God. The firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. All things, everything, everything you see, possess, own, think about owning, were created. This takes place both in heaven and on earth. Visible trees, invisible. What made a tree? Can't see it. You see a seed. What made the seed? All things. Visible and invisible, whether thrones, that's powers, dominions, rulers, or authority, all things have been created through him, by him, for him. There's no doubt. Don't be confused. Everything we see, possess. Everything we don't see belongs to him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church. It's our head. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Now we know we got this great kingdom. Christians, Church of Christ, members of this great kingdom. And this kingdom is actually available to all mankind. But for some reason, all mankind's not breaking the door down. And I wonder why. And I can't answer that, honestly. We have the word, you know, and all of us are thoroughly enlightened. The scripture did say, though, that, you know, if they hated Christ, that they would probably not like us a whole lot, too. But maybe that's why the doors are not breaking down, because that's got something to do with some evil going on. But in spite of that, we still have an obligation to serve Christ. In Acts, the second chapter, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Gives me an insight and an understanding on what takes place when individuals are saved, you see, because it's the Lord that adds to his church those individuals who he wants in his church. Now, if you remember, when he chose 12, that 12 turned the world upside down. How many we got in here? 40, 50? Now, that's just here. Church of Christ is worldwide. And he said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to get up and move. But on the other side of that coin, if you have fear the size of a mustard seed, it'll do the same thing. It'll stop you from using that faith to move that mountain. Fear is awesome too. But with Christ, we have power over that fear. As we can see from Acts 2 and 38, Peter said to them, repent, each of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everybody here has repented. Everybody here has been forgiven of their sins, and everybody here has received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have access to God's word. Same power that raised Christ from the dead. Now, am I saying we could raise people from the dead? Spiritually, yes. We can. Based on scripture. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 3, 26 and 27, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, make no mistake about it. Those individuals in Jesus Christ, sons of God. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. Christ is the head, which is your body, and the fullness of him who fills all and all. And we have the kingdom, the church. To sum things up, the scripture says clearly, you must be born again to enter the kingdom. John 3:3-8. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh, flesh. That which is born of spirit, spirit." You can't see it. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sounds of it, but you do not know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Once you are born again, you will be added to the church. Acts 2:41. So then those who had received his word were baptized, received the word, not hear it, received it, accepted it, acknowledged it, were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Finally, once you have been baptized, you will become a member of Christ's body, where all spiritual blessings can be had. Real quickly, Ephesians 1:3-4. I want you to mark this place. This has meant so much to me, and I'm sure you've read it. I think I got it here. So much. This means so much. And the thing about God's Word is, once we do our daily study, and I do want to emphasize that it's important to study God's Word on a daily basis, because it is the most important thing that you can do in your busy schedule is get guidance from the Almighty. Ephesians 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, the church, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And I believe that's why hell is so hot. It's because God, in his infinite wisdom and his word, has given us every conceivable illustration to be able to deal with this life. And not only given us the illustrations, but the power to do it. And I guess that's why it's so horrible to have tasted of salvation and walk away or turn your back. My last thought is, for those who are not members of the Church of Christ, those who have not been baptized, those who do not know the Lord, that you would consider wisely your next endeavor. Life is not promised to any of us. And I've often told some of you people, sisters and brothers, that I work in a hospital, and on occasion, on a daily occasion, people leave here. And we don't see it all the time because we're not immediately in touch with it. We hear about it, but I actually see it on a day-to-day basis. And I often tell myself when I go get a body, and I ask the question, did this person know the Lord Jesus Christ? And then as I'm pushing a body into the cooler, I'm saying to myself, one day this is going to be me. Man, you got to get your act together. If it's not together, you got to get your act together, because God is true in what he says. There is appointed a time when you will not be here. Okay? And all of this is for the purpose of getting to know God. That's why we're here. Getting to know him better. Sharing the gospel with others. Enjoying life at the same time, just like Jesus did. Enjoyed life at the same time. Still did the Father's will. Okay? And I don't think God is asking any of us here to be crucified like he was. God has chosen you and placed you in the greatest. I won't call it an organism. Organization. The greatest society? Is that the right word? Is that the proper word? God has placed us in the greatest society that exists to man, the Church of Christ. We have a function. Let's consider our function. My invitations get a little discombobulated a little bit, but
for those, again, who are not members of the Church of Christ,
consider wisely. And those who are members of the Church of Christ, God is only requesting obedience. That's all. Obedience to His Word. Live your life. Enjoy your life. He gave it. It's a free gift. Christ came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. If you have some issues that are contrary to God's Word, deal with them. Come to God's Word. Come to God's people. Ask the church to pray for you. Those individuals who have been obedient can get to God and say a word or two for all of us. And we all, at times, fall short, myself being no exception. So this morning, if the gospel has been preached to you and you understood what you heard, join us as we stand and sing the invitation song.